Harvey Community Radio 96.5 FM is conducting 12 30-minute interviews with local residents in the Harvey area. The series is called Your Stories, Our Community 2024. The volunteers that have agreed to be interviewed come from a diverse range of backgrounds and life experiences. The recorded interviews will be played on HCR 96.5 FM twice per week over a 12-week period, and the local audio content preserved as a historical recording for future generations. Volunteer HCR 96.5 FM announcers will conduct the interviews, and station manager Ian Taylor will coordinate the project and is the producer of the recordings. HCR 96.5 FM is thankful for the financial support for the project provided by Albemarle and the Shire of Harvey.
Hello, my name's Ian from Harvey Community Radio 96.5 FM, and today I'd like to introduce a very special guest, Leanne Pronk, to the studio for Your Stories, Our Community. Welcome, Leanne.
Thank you, Ian. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure, and we're looking forward to hearing your story. We might kick off with a few questions. Where were you born, and what cultural heritage do you identify with?
So as you introduced me, my name is Leanne Pronk. My maiden name was Pellegrini, Leanne Pellegrini. I'm a first generation Australian. Both myself and my two brothers, Frank and Mark, were born in Perth to Joe and Rina Pellegrini, or their Italian names really, Giuseppe and Caterina Pellegrini.
And there's quite a few Pellegrinis around the place?
Directly related to us, not too many.
Can you describe what country and region your parents were born in and migrated from?
Yes, so both my parents are from northern Italy, from an area called Valtellina, which is about 120 kilometres northeast of Milan, so right on the Swiss border, right amongst the Alps of Italy. So you can just imagine a valley of two mountainsides, snow-tipped mountains.
I'm seeing it now. I've got that vision.
Yeah. So absolutely glorious, picturesque area of Italy, right near the Swiss border.
Yep.
And so close that I recall my uncle driving into Switzerland to buy petrol because it was cheaper, and then just doing the round trip back home.
And coming back. How long was the journey to Australia?
So my mum and dad arrived separately. My mum actually came across when she was 11 years old. She came aboard an English ship, the Orontes, and she arrived in Fremantle on the 23rd of May 1950, along with her mum, her sister and brother. Yeah, so my mum's dad arrived in Australia earlier. He came in 1938. So he was actually here when World War II broke out. So my mum's dad, my nonno, was interned here at the Harvey internment camp as well. So I've done some family research and found some paperwork on his internment conditions, and I know that he was interned for about a year before he was released on a work sort of release. Yeah, so mum arrived when she was 11, and because her dad had left Italy just as she was born, she really didn't reunite with him until she was 11 years old. Yeah, and met her dad pretty much for the first time when she arrived in 1950.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, how old had that been for an 11-year-old girl?
Definitely a lot of challenges arriving in a new country, but also, quite emotional, I'm
emotional
sure.
At the same time.
Yeah, well, my dad, he also arrived in 1950. He didn't come to Australia until the 29th of December 1950. He came aboard an Italian ship, the Toscana, which left from Genoa and arrived in Fremantle. And just only recently, in July this year, I was fortunate enough to return to Italy, back to my dad's hometown, to his actual family house. And looking through some photos, I actually found what I thought was a photo but was actually a postcard from the Toscana ship. And my dad wrote the postcard back to his mother just as he left Italy in 1950. So,
and we're looking at that postcard right now.
I know. I was quite emotional when I saw it. I turned it over and saw my dad's handwriting and written in Italian to his cara mamma, to his dear mum. Yeah, so
it's incredible, listeners. There's a picture of the ship on one side, and the other side is when he wrote on the postcard, and it's 1950.
That's right. It's written on the 22nd of November, 1950, and he writes in that card to his mum to have courage, to be strong, that he'll be okay, and that one day they will meet up again, that he sends her a million big hugs, and that he would arrive in Australia on the 27th of December.
Wow. So that's just a real bit of history there, isn't it?
Yeah, just beautiful. So yeah, I've got that framed up, and I will deeply cherish that.
Oh, yeah. It's just beautiful. So how long did the journey take?
Well, my dad described that journey to me. It probably took about a month for him to arrive in Australia. He explained that he left Genoa on the 27th of November. That ship sailed across to Alexandria in Egypt,
yep,
through the Suez Canal down to Aden, then across to Singapore, and finally arriving in Fremantle for him on the 29th of December, 1950.
Yeah, what a journey as well.
Yep.
And the courage to come to a new country in those days.
Yeah, definitely.
Just incredible.
Definitely, yeah.
And the hard work that was going to be ahead of him.
That's right. Well, my dad came on his own. He had finished his high school studies in Italy, was looking for job opportunities, and there really wasn't much available for him. And he just knew that he wanted to do something more than work on the land, as his family and ancestors had done. So he had heard of a family friend who was in Australia at the time. He applied for a sponsorship. Yeah, off he went on his own at 18.
How many years then did he spend here? Did he go back there at all?
Yeah, he did. Both mum and dad went back to Italy together for their honeymoon in 1967. So that would have been the first time that they went back. And my dad's mother and his brother continued to live in the family home in Italy. So he had a real close connection to his mum and his brother and sister-in-law. He started going back probably in the 70s. He started going back more regularly. And one of the first times he went back, which was in 1974, I was 5 years old, and he took me with him. We went for about 6 weeks. And in that 6 weeks, I just got to hear the whole Italian language spoken by my dad, my nonna, my uncle and auntie.
What an experience for you.
It was. Not that I remember very much, but I just recall stories that I've been told. And when I returned to Australia after 6 weeks, I couldn't speak English anymore.
You changed that quickly.
Yeah, so
goes to show how a young mind picks the new language up and runs with it. Yeah,
but I'm sure that no sooner had I arrived back in Australia, I changed back into speaking English pretty quickly.
Oh, it's great to have the different languages though, isn't it? I mean, you're very lucky in a way that you picked it up so quickly.
And it's always stayed with me. I then studied Italian at school. Primary school, high school, and I actually did some Italian studies at university. So I really got to understand the language, how to speak it, the grammar, and found some opportunities to use it. Unfortunately, in Australia, there's not that many opportunities to speak Italian. Even within my family, we spoke English most of the time.
Still stuck with the English.
Yeah, yep. So it wasn't until I returned to Italy on various holidays that I got to speak to my grandmother and my uncle and auntie in Italian, and even write to them. My grandmother used to write letters to us quite regularly, and we'd write back to her in Italian. So I think that's how you get to learn a language. You need to immerse yourself into,
Yeah. Obviously, hard work in those early years paid off in Australia in working to be able to go back, to Italy so many times and
Yeah.
You must have done okay here.
Yes. Yeah, no, my dad worked extremely hard. And like I said, that connection back home was very strong for him. and his mother and brother and sister-in-law actually came to Australia a few times as well. But yeah, I'm really grateful for that connection my dad had with home for him, home back in Trezenda.
Yeah.
When I visited, I've actually been back there 7 times over the years, and each time I've gone back there, I've just felt so at home too. I walk in that front door and just feel very, very comfortable.
That's great, yeah, isn't it? So, over the other side of the world, but you can still feel, I know, have that connection.
It is, yeah. So unfortunately, that connection has closed its doors this year. My nonna, my grandmother passed away back in 1995, but both my uncle and auntie passed away just this year, 1 month, 2 months apart. My uncle passed away in July this year and my auntie in September. So it's closed a chapter for the family.
It's closed the doors. It has. With that connection.
It has, yeah. So it has. And, yeah, and it's left me with a bit of contemplation about, you know, my family and the family history. But But I know that that story and that legacy won't ever be lost.
Well, that's the other thing. It's going to last forever, isn't
yeah,
it?
So that's, I feel like, a really important role to continue talking to our own families today about the family connection.
That's right. It's still keeping it alive.
That's right, yeah.
Keeping it happening. And the main reason your parents migrated to Australia?
Yeah, so as I said, my mum came over because her father was already over here working. So my nonno had come to Australia to earn some money, to send money back home to Italy. And then the war broke out, World War II broke out. So my mum, her brother and sister and her mother were left in Italy to fend for themselves, I suppose, until the war ended and my grandfather had stable work here in Australia. He'd earned enough money to find a home for them to live in. So he then called them over. So my grandmother and the 3 children, sailed over to Fremantle to start a new life themselves.
Yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
With a beautiful ending.
Yes.
They all settled in and happily ever after.
Yeah, I'm sure some trials and tribulations along the way.
I'm sure there was. I'm sure there was. But without all their hard work and dedication, you wouldn't be here today.
That's true.
Well, this is Ian talking on Your Stories, Our Community on Harvey Community Radio 96.5 FM. And today I'm talking with Leanne Pronk, a long-time local here in Harvey, about her family history. Okay, and now, Leanne, we're going to have a song. We'll break it up a little bit with a song. What would you like to play?
Well, I'd love you to play a song from Valtellina, from the Alpine Mountains of Italy. It's called Il Mazzolin di Fiori. It's about a girl who goes and picks alpine flowers and a little bunch of flowers.
Beautiful.
From the mountainside.
I won't try and repeat the name of the song, but here it is.
Yeah.
Perché è un bel mazzetto. mi fa piangere sospirare sul letto dei lamenti, mi fa piangere sospirare sul letto dei lamenti. Che cosa mai dirà le genti? Cosa mai dirà di me? Che cosa mai dirà le genti? Cosa mai dirà di me? Diran che son tradita, tradita nell'amore. Diran che son tradita, tradita nell'amore. E ma perché mi piange il cuore? Sempre, sempre piangerà. E ma perché mi piange il cuore? Sempre, sempre piangerà.
And welcome back, listeners. That was an absolute beautiful song, Leanne. Thank you for that. I won't try and repeat the name of the song.
I Mazzolin di Fiori.
Thank you.
It brings back, lots of memories for me. It was one of the songs that, I used to hear quite often at home or even in Italy. But, very reminiscent of the Valtellina Alpine area of
that
Italy.
That beautiful area.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, thank you. It was lovely. So welcome back, Leanne. We shall continue our interview on your stories, our community. You said your dad's grandfather came to Australia to work on the Kalgoorlie pipeline back in 1892.
That's right. Yeah, I think probably my story of family coming to Australia, this is probably quite a common story. I'll tell you about my family. Yeah, so it was my dad who told me that story. I have actually tried to look into some archives to find out a bit more information, but haven't been able to find anything. But, dad told me that back in 1892, his grandfather came over to Australia for about 10 years, actually, and he worked on building the Mundaring to Kalgoorlie pipeline.
The O'Connor pipeline, famous.
That's right, which back in those days started off as a wooden pipeline, and then over the years it's been renovated,
yes,
updated. But originally it was made out of wood. So
hard to believe, isn't it now?
Yeah.
But what a milestone project that was! It was just incredible.
Yeah, no.
And what they did.
Yeah.
And the time, as you said, it took 10 years total. So.
My dad's nonno was here for 10 years working on that, and then he returned back to Italy. He'd made some money and sent money back over the years, and many stories of people doing that same thing and going back to their homeland, buying some land, building the family house because of the hard work. But I also have some connections on my mum's side as well of her family coming to Australia back in the 1920s, and that was her dad and her uncles who came over mainly for the gold rush. So once again, back to the gold fields, working on various mines there for a number of years, sending money back home. And that was primarily the reason my mum's dad was in Australia at the time when World War II broke out. He was working up in the gold fields. He was interned, and explained the story earlier, where just continued working until he could bring the rest of the family over.
It's incredible stories because imagine the conditions in those days, working out in that harsh outback would have been very difficult too.
Yeah.
And what they would have endured.
That's right.
During that time.
Yeah.
But all to pay and help the family come over or go back there and live or here to make the money to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, there's some really good books out there which tell a lot of stories of people working out in the goldfields in those conditions.
Very, very tough.
Yeah. Well, that connection of ancestors migrating from Italy to Australia also extends on my husband's side as well. We didn't really know much about my husband's Italian connection. He knew there was some, but it wasn't till the year 2000 that a family member on his side did a bit of a family tree And as we were reading through it, we both were just absolutely gobsmacked to realize that my husband's Italian family, the Rinaldi family, came from pretty much the same town as my mum in Italy. I think we looked at each other and went, we're not related, are we?
Yeah, that's the first thing you'd think, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's right. So
what a coincidence.
It was, yeah, so probably only about a kilometre away from each other, my mum's town and the little town that the Rinaldis were from. So we read through the family history, which is really interesting, and it dates back to 1884. So the Rinaldi family, a husband and wife, Giovanni and Maria Rinaldi, and their two children left Valtellina, left Italy in 1884, and they came across on a ship called the Garone, and they went to Melbourne. They started off in Ballin in Victoria, once again, the gold rush.
I was going to say the gold rush days.
Yeah, it was the gold rush days, that's right. They had another six children, so they had eight children altogether. And then the family history went on to explain that they spent about 10 years in the gold fields. Then they moved to Melbourne. And we have recently visited Lonsdale Street in Melbourne and seen
the famous Lonsdale Street.
That's right. And we've seen the building, which was a wine bar and a provision shop that the Rinaldi family owned and ran back in the early 1900s.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a bit of history, isn't it?
It was. So that was great. And we then followed through this family history that was put together and found that from Lonsdale Street, the family then chased gold again and went to Kalgoorlie. So they moved to Kalgoorlie.
Moved across Australia.
In 1906, they went over to Kalgoorlie working on the mines again. And it was only about 2 months later that the husband, Giovanni, passed away in a mining accident. So he left his wife and children.
And eight children?
Eight children,
yeah. How very sad.
So they then continued working and living in the area until, the wife, Maria, passed away in 1928. So then went and found the grave that is up there in Kalgoorlie.
You actually found it?
Yeah, we found the grave. Funny thing is that both my husband and I lived and worked in Kalgoorlie in the 1990s. We were there for 5.5 years and knew nothing of this Rinaldi history. Knew nothing of
all
it.
All that history's there.
I know.
A lot of it was there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I knew that I had family from my mum and dad's side that had been to Kalgoorlie and worked in Kalgoorlie, but we didn't know any of my husband's Rinaldi family. So we have returned to Kalgoorlie and we found the gravesite, which we took a photo of and realised that the marble, obviously over the years, has really deteriorated, and all of the writing, that or the inscription on the grave has deteriorated. So Grant's parents have just had it restored recently.
I was just about to ask, has it been done?
Yes, so we've had it restored so that it's
wonderful.
It's all there written clearly for
for generations,
to read. Yeah.
Oh, that is a wonderful story. And your husband would be so happy that he's found some history from his own family.
Oh, definitely.
Which he didn't had no idea about.
That's right. So now he's returned to Italy on a number of occasions with me. Obviously, we're just in the same area where his family and my family come from. And just to be there and try and understand how our families had lived back in the day and the decision that they made about leaving. And
just incredible. That's cultural heritage of, what it's all about, isn't it? And then so much history behind it.
Yeah, that's right. So they really must have been, extremely courageous to have made that decision and to leave and not know where they were going. Other side of the world, you can just imagine the challenges.
A huge decision.
Yeah, the challenges they would have faced with a new country, a new language, a new environment, new different weather.
Mm. Oh, totally different weather, yeah.
Yeah,
but what an eye-opener.
Yeah, definitely. So we know that they would have had challenges, but at the end of it, hoping and I think that they would have had more successes that they could reflect on.
And they obviously did very well in the end, worked hard and reaped the benefits until sadly your husband's side of the family wasn't so lucky in the end. And the eight children, they stayed?
Yeah, it's well, only just sort of reading on the family history. Most of them moved back to Perth, married and had family. So, so my husband's like probably like fourth generation Australian now and has some connection with some of those family members. Mm.
And Leanne, what does all this family history actually mean to you personally?
Yeah, well, I've always had a real interest in my family history and understanding it. My dad really had a great memory and attention to detail. He would often tell stories around the kitchen table of his life growing up, his time in Australia, or his family's life in Italy. So I was determined to write some of this down. So I did, and I'm so glad I did. So,
I'm glad you did too.
Yeah, so on my dad's 80th birthday, I presented him with a book and photos and different archives that I had found to put together his family story or his story, and he was really, really touched with it. So my dad has passed away now, 9 years ago now, but we still have his story and his understanding of his way of life.
How nice was it, though, a couple of years before he passed away, that he got to read and hear all about it?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I know that the rest of my family are really appreciative of it too.
Yeah.
So we still talk a lot about, our parents, both, and my mum has passed away as well. But, you were saying, what does it mean for me? I think for me, it really just helps me understand where my family came from. It's just helped me understand the values that they lived by when they first came to Australia. Because I can really understand that it would have been so courageous for them to have left and started a new life. But they really committed themselves to it. They came to Australia with a strong work ethic. I know that both my mum and dad were extremely hardworking, but they still had that commitment and connection to their family and their traditions, obviously. I really take pride in what they established for us here.
Yeah, lovely answer. I think, their heritage, their culture, their hard work, their work ethic, just incredible. And I think you've answered that very nicely.
Yeah, thank you. I think just probably one other point I'd like to make is I really believe that it's important to pass on these stories to my own children, to this new generation, their second generation Australian. I really want them to understand and respect what their ancestors did before them and to value what we have today. So that's one thing that I continue to speak about to my own children and get them to understand and respect and appreciate what we have, to embrace it, to live every day to the best that you can, because we are so, so fortunate.
That's right. So that, very true.
That we are living this life.
Keep it alive, so to speak, forevermore for families to come and years to come.
Yeah, that's right.
Future decades. So, Leanne, what are some of your favourite reasons for living in Harvey? We're coming back to Harvey now. And what are some of your hopes and aspirations for the future here?
My husband and I moved to Harvey in the late 1990s, and just as our two daughters were born. So we've been in Harvey for about 26 years now. We primarily came for my husband's work. He was it was a transfer into the Forest Products Commission at the time. We didn't know how long we were going to stay for. It seemed like a nice place. It was close enough to Perth where all our family was living. But like many people, Harvey grows on you and you just realise just what a gorgeous town it is. The town itself has everything you need for your day-to-day living, but it's the people of the town who are so, so welcoming, who are always there to support. That's probably the main thing that resonates with me for Harvey.
I think you've just about said it all. Was your family surprised when you came down here all those years ago, 26 years ago?
Yes, they were to a degree.
Because those days it would have been a fair, you know, a long way away from Perth.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we were living in Kalgoorlie prior, so I think they were probably excited that we got a bit closer to Perth.
Almost like a Perth suburb, Harvey.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, once again, as soon as we moved to Harvey, the family stories came out. You know, my mum said, oh, my, you know, my dad was interned at the internment camp, and so I got to sort of learn more about that. And obviously I've visited the internment camp and seen my nonno's name up on the plaques. And then Grant's family were excited too, because they started talking about the Wokalup Hotel, because Grant's mum's side, the Neville family, owned and ran that hotel in the 1950s.
What a connection.
Yeah, so it was...
down the road.
That's right. Yeah. So it was a family connection to Harvey. Not that that's what drew us here, but as I said, those connections to places, just the stories just started coming out. So that was great.
Oh, wonderful story.
Yeah, so we've... obviously decided not to move away. We've settled here and built a house, and our two daughters did all their schooling down here. But now at 26 and 28, they've moved to Perth, continued their studies and started working. So they come home when they can, and they've really come to appreciate living out of the city in a country town.
Especially when they come back on the weekends. How good is it?
Yeah, so good, yeah.
Well, thank you, Leanne, for joining us on Your Stories, Our Community today. It's been an absolute pleasure and delight talking to you, for sharing your story. It's just been so very, very special.
Oh, thank you so much, Ian. I've really enjoyed speaking about it, and I hope the listeners have too.
One thing, Leanne, a song to go out with.
Well, I can't go past the song Volare, especially the one sung by Dean Martin, one of my mum's favourite songs, so... if we can dedicate that to la mia mamma, I'd love that.
Thanks very much, Leanne.
Volare, cantare, let's fly way up to the clouds, away from the maddening crowds. We can sing in the glow of a star that I know of, where lovers enjoy peace of mind. Let us leave the confusion and all this illusion behind. Just like birds of a feather, a rainbow together we'll find. Volare, oh, e cantare, oh, oh, oh. No wonder my happy heart sings, your love has given me wings. Penso che io sogno così non ritorni mai più. Mi dipinge con le mani e la faccia di blu. Poi d'improvviso tenido dal vento rapito e incominciavo a volare nel cielo infinito. Volare, oh, oh, e cantare, oh, oh, oh. Nel blu, dipinto di blu, e chi dice di stare lassù? E volavo, volavo, venice un'alte del sole con coro più su, mentre molto pian piano spariva lontano laggiù. Una musica dolce suonare soltanto per me. Volare, oh, oh, e cantare, oh, oh, no wonder my happy heart sings, your love has given me wings, nel blu, dipinto di blu, venite di stare lassù. nel blu, dipinto di blu.